Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Book of Exodus. In those days the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai and pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in the front of the mountain, Moses went up to the mountain to God. Then the Lord called him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings, and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people, though all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
We are his people, the sheep of his
flock.
Know
that the Lord is God. He made us. His we are. The people, the flock he tends.
We are his people, the sheep of
his
flock.
The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out the laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon from Cana; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And actually, I'm not really with Dawn because I'm out in Texas. I was out for a friend's priesthood ordination. And Dawn, you're in Canandaigua, where I will be next week when we record the podcast again.
I seem to always be in Canandaigua. Why don't I get to go to these fun places?
I don't know. You should. I'm one who always says that you're very much deserving of a vacation.
Anywhere well, no, you it's just go. Some week I should say, "This is Dawn, and I'm here in fill in the blank, and Brian's in Canandaigua."
That's it. Oh, hey, a lot of people would love to be in Canandaigua.
That's true. I have nothing
beautiful
to
place
complain
to be.
About.
That's right. So, you could sit here. Hi, I'm Dawn. I'm in the Bahamas, and Brian's stuck in Canandaigua. Actually, it'd probably be more like I'd be stuck in Illinois or Indiana maybe when I get there. Anyway, of course, we're going to discuss these readings eventually here after we've discussed everywhere we've traveled to. And one of the things that I think struck me right away from the gospel reading, Dawn, is the line, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few." Because I think that's a line that really it's easy for us to forget at times, or sometimes we can become discouraged in our own life as Christians or something like that, and wonder, is God really with us? It seems like the whole world is against us at times. It seems like, you know, the society is turning more and more away from religion. You hear all kinds of depressing statistics, that sort of thing. And just kind of wonder, you know, what's going on here? And I think that that's really actualizing some of that, that the harvest is abundant. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but those willing to do it are definitely very few.
But we're all one of them. It's not just you as a deacon or just Father Mull. We're all called to this.
Oh, exactly. This is a Christian calling, I think, that we're talking about here. It's not a calling for just ordained ministers or people who are part of religious communities or anything like that. We're all called to be laborers. In fact, actually, when you read church documents, what you learn is that it's the ordained people who are supposed to be at the service of the laity so that the laity can go out into the world to be at service to the world. So it's kind of this whole system of service and system of going out and there's work to be done. So it's not just the priest's job or somebody, you know, a sister's job or a deacon's job or something like that to be, you know, praying or out in the world doing good things. It's the job of every Christian to be participating in that abundant work that there is to be done. And of course, it does become a difficult thing, like I did say, because a lot of times in our society, it does seem that a lot of people don't want to do that, or that we're in a phase where it's just so much work to be done that it can become overwhelming. But we have to remember that Jesus did come to send us out on a mission. And, you know, I think you've mentioned it before, the line that, you know, the church does not have a mission. The mission has a church. And that's kind of what we are, is we're sent on this mission by Christ. That's the first thing we have to remember. And the church is part of the way we carry it out. But definitely we need to talk about the idea that we are all sent on a mission. We're all to be laborers in the vineyard, if you will, on this whole mission.
Well, I have a question about the mission, because as I was reading this, I don't remember this. Sometimes I have a very bad memory. But in this section, Jesus sends out the 12, but he tells them not to go into pagan territories or to enter a Samaritan town. Now, we hear all the time that Jesus came to save all of us. So why is he sending them just into, you know, sort of what would be considered safe territories?
Mm-hmm. Or to the Samaritan towns. And,
right.
Or not into the Samaritans or to the pagans, but just to this kind of elite group of people. And one of the things that we have to remember is, I don't know if you recall, way back at the beginning of Ordinary Time, when we talked about how we were going to be discussing the whole book of, or the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the things that Matthew is really writing to is to a Jewish audience. And he's really kind of showing Jesus as a Jewish person. And this is part of that. Now, eventually, what we will see is Jesus' mission is initially to the Jewish people. But ultimately, when you read the whole Gospel, and that's why you can't be selective in lines that we take from the Bible. A lot of times people will like to do that and take one line and kind of play this back and forth with the Bible and throwing lines at each other. But you have to take the whole context, because later on in the gospel, you will see Jesus come and say to go to all nations. But he doesn't say that until after the resurrection. So his earthly ministry, while he was here on earth, the people that he was communicating through and with was the people of Israel. And he wasn't really trying to overthrow Judaism or anything like that. He was the fulfillment of Judaism. And so part of this is still, he's showing that there is a sense where the Jewish religion is important in the whole scheme of salvation here. And while I'm here on earth, I'm functioning as a Jewish man would function. And so that's really what that's coming from. It's not at all. A lot of times it'd be very easy to read that line and say, huh, did Jesus just come for an elite group of people? But he didn't. This was the initial mission while he was still alive on earth. But then at the Great Commissioning, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, he gives a different command. His command is, go forth to all nations and gather all nations and preach the gospel to all and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's to all nations then. So it kind of shows you that at the end, his mission becomes more universal. And part of that, too, is you have to remember the guys that he's sending forth are 12 Jewish men. And he's speaking to the Jewish people. He can't, in some sense, just go overly radical and say, you know what, we're just going to start our own religion right here, right now, when he really hasn't fulfilled his own mission, which, you know, at the resurrection, then all of a sudden things become apparent as to what he was doing. Because the whole time in his ministry, you always hear the disciples not getting anything that's going on. And it's not until after the resurrection that they're able to understand everything that Christ was doing. And this is one of those things there too, where I think Christ is working with the limits of the people that he's surrounded by.
You know, I can't imagine. I've sort of been putting myself in the story and what it must have been like to be one of those 12 and being sent off, because it was probably a little bit exciting, but I'm a big wimp, so I would probably be terrified, and what if I say the wrong thing? It just must have been a neat time.
Yep. And another thing, I mean, when you talk about that kind of thing, it would have been, but also you have to remember, too, the mindset of the disciples was probably that he was going to be a military leader and he was going to bring Israel out of physical captivity. So when you're talking about an exciting time, it's probably in a different level, too, to the fact that you're thinking, wow, we're finally going to be freed. This is the guy who's going to do it. And in some sense, when you see him die on the cross, there's probably this huge letdown, you know, at that point. But then, of course, when he comes back, things start to make sense once. Of course, though, he still has to explain it. You hear the story of a lot of people know the road to Emmaus, where he's walking after the resurrection with the disciples, and they still don't get it, and he starts to explain things to them. But it is interesting, too, going back to this particular gospel passage, one of the other things is the proclamation is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what he is he's going to the house of Israel, who know that there's going to be a reign of God. If he went into these pagan territories, not only would you be explaining that they're, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but you'd have to explain what that means and all this stuff. He's going out and telling the Jewish people, you know, you guys need to get ready because the kingdom's at hand. And of course, the way that God works through salvation history and what he's been told is that salvation was going to come from the people of Israel, and indeed Jesus is part of that people of Israel, and that God was going to be with the people of Israel, and that all the nations were going to gather around the people of Israel and become one people. And essentially, that's what we say is happening in the church, is that now all the nations are gathering around this one person from the people of Israel, Jesus Christ, and coming together as one people. And ultimately, in the very end, it'll be even more unified than we are now, which, as you may know, is not very unified at times.
You know, one of the things that struck me in this gospel passage, it talks at the very beginning about the people were troubled and abandoned, and it said Jesus was moved with pity. And in this instance, the Greek word for pity means stirred to the bowels. And so it's more than just, oh, that's too bad. It's Jesus was deeply, deeply moved by them. And we don't hear too much in the Gospels of Jesus expressing deep emotion, but I think this is one of the times. And it got me to thinking about compassion and how that's sort of what we're all called to do. It's more than just service. We're moved to help people, but on a deeper level. And in Henry Nouwen's book, Compassion, the conclusion, it's a really nice conclusion. I thought that maybe we could talk about it a little bit, or you could hear it. He talks about the passage from Revelations about, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and it goes on saying there'll be no more tears and no more death. And so Henry Nouwen concludes this way, This is the vision that guides us. This vision makes us share one another's burdens, carry our crosses together, and unite for a better world. This vision takes the despair out of death and the morbidity out of suffering and opens new horizons. This vision also gives us energy to manifest its first realization in the midst of the complexities of life. This vision is indeed of a future world. And it goes on from there. But I think I just like the imagery he uses compared with that passage from Revelation.
Yeah, I think it is. And Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite authors. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to read a whole lot of Nouwen at the seminary because we're reading all these other more academic type books and things. But I think he's a wonderful author. I'd recommend him to anybody who is listening who just really wants to delve more into their spiritual life. And I've not read that particular book, the book on compassion. Is it called Compassion?
It's called Compassion, A Reflection on the Christian Life. It's a very good book that talks about service and why we do service and more than that.
Well done. That's something certainly that our listeners will hopefully look into. And as we're coming to the end of our podcast, we'll say goodbye and hopefully they will join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.